Item number seven is budget fiscal year 2012-13 request for the Supreme Court, Courts of Appeal, Judicial Council, Administrative Office of the Courts, and the Trial Courts. Justice Huffman, it's nice to see you again.
It's nice to be back after this long absence. Keep it down, would you?
And I'd have the panel introduce itself before we begin.
Zlatko Theodorovich, Director of the Finance Division, AOC.
And I'm Kim Turner. I'm the Chair of the Court Executive Advisory Committee and a Judicial Council member.
Thank you. And
take it away, right?
Yes.
Okay, so thank you, Chief. I wanted to just take a moment to discuss in your handout recommendation number two, which is the request from the AOC that the council take action today to essentially give authority to the AOC to seek budget restoration of baseline reductions that the trial courts have taken over the last several years. As you all well know, over the last 4 years, we've taken about a $600 million cut to the branch. It's been a painful and difficult and perilous time for the branch. And we are, on behalf of the trial courts, and I think I speak on behalf of all the courts, the Supreme Court, the Courts of Appeal, HCRC, and the AOC, we are very anxious to make sure that the AOC has all of the authority it needs to develop creative solutions, to work with our chief, to actually get some restoration to funding for our branch. So I wanted to just highlight a couple of the things that that are currently on the table in terms of proposals. I mean, certainly it would be to pursue restoration of some of the funding that we lost this year, some of that $350 million that was lost this year. We would hope that the AOC would be able to advocate for restoration. There's also a kind of a new idea that's percolating, which is to seek some inflationary cost increase adjustment. So this is a new idea that I don't believe the branch, I mean, maybe you know differently, Zlatko, but I don't believe the branch has ever tried to go to the legislature and say, give us money for operating expenses and equipment, you know, for the increased cost of these things that have occurred over time. And in addition to that, and probably most importantly, is we want the legislature to once again give broad authority to the council to allocate whatever the budget restorations or reductions are, so that the council has the ultimate authority to determine how the judicial branch entities would take those cuts. So having said that, Ron, do you have anything to add?
No, what Kim is discussing in that last item of the inflationary costs is called price, and that applies to the AOC, the Courts of Appeal, and other areas of state government. So we think it would be logical to apply it to the trial courts as well, particularly since Sal has been stopped, that it would be a good way to deal with those inflationary costs, whether it's enough to cover the kinds of things that Sal did in terms of labor costs increases, and that remains to be seen. But it would be a way to get some additional funds to the trial courts consistent with all the other areas of state government.
And then finally, item that's called legislative statutory changes to reduce overall operational costs. I think SEAC and the trial court presiding judges have been committed to trying to take a long, hard look at the statutes that exist presently that do impede our ability to provide efficient and cost-effective administration of justice. For example, SEAC right now is looking at perhaps amendments that will be coming before the council to the Government Code Section 68-152, which sets forth all of the records retention requirements for all the various case types of records that are handled by the trial courts, so that we can perhaps address the warehousing of, you know, millions and millions of square feet of trial court records and the cost of retaining records long after cases are disposed. That's an example of a possible legislative proposal that would inure to the benefit of the trial courts in terms of reducing their costs if, in fact, some of those retention periods were shorter. I know there are many, many other such proposals that we will be bringing to the council and bringing to the AOC, ideas that we might have that would make our jobs, I think, more streamlined, you know, use technology where possible, really try to embrace, you know, some of the emerging ideas and technologies that are available. So thank you, Chief, and now I'd like to turn it over to Zlatko.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to go briefly over the BCP process, touch on the issues that are branch-wide. We'll see slides for the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court and the trial courts, and then Justice Huffman will present the issues that are being considered for the AOC. First, I'd like to say that it's a pleasure to be here in my first formal presentation, and I'm very looking forward to working with everybody to help the branch move forward, and I think this is the first step in doing that. BCPs are the way in which state agencies adjust their budgets. We do incremental budgeting here in the state of California. We don't do zero-based budgeting or performance-based budgeting. We only present changes on the margin. The Judicial Council has to approve the BCPs that will go forward for consideration before the administration and before the legislature, and this body will give us the framework from which we would be moving forward, framing our discussion. This year, we've reduced the number of requests to sort of focus on the key issues. In my time at the Department of Finance, I felt that in tight fiscal times, departments asking for small dollar amounts, and while advocating for other major policy proposals, they weren't really focusing on what it was that was critical. And I think we've seen that the issue of really providing base funding for the branches is critical. I want to just let you know the specific terms that were used by the Department of Finance in issuing what's called a budget policy letter. It tells all state agencies what it expects to see this year. It says the administration's primary budget priority is to establish a structurally balanced budget that preserves critical state services and promotes the governor's priorities. While the 2011 Budget Act makes substantial progress in closing the state's structural deficit, departments must continue to control costs, increase efficiencies, and refrain from creating new or expanding existing programs. I think what's key here and our job is that we have to identify and remind folks that what we do is a critical state service, and then we have to compel the governor to understand that it is a priority of his to fund the branch. So we think that we will work with the strategy to do that moving forward. We've discussed restoration of some baseline funding. We think that's a critical component, and how that will go about. I think we would probably need to elicit the input of PJs and court executives in framing that strategy. We will also be asking for the flexibility to address whatever budget comes our way in the final budget act, so that to the extent that there are some unknowns, we can similarly this year have the flexibility to allocate the budget across the branch. The issue of the inflationary cost increases is something that I think was important to try and do this year. In the last couple of fiscal years, we've gotten adjustments for health benefits and retiree costs, similar to all other state agencies that get those kinds of adjustments. I don't know if the first fiscal year was $17 million, and this most recent fiscal year was $52 million. Those are substantial funds that help address cost increases. We think the next component would be what can we do to at least provide some inflationary cost adjustment for your operating expenses and equipment. While this isn't SAL type adjustments, it would help get sort of claw back some ability to not erode the buying power of the budget. We've mentioned here about the statutory changes. We've heard that in the contracting issue about trying to find some statutory relief from some of the more onerous provisions there. We think that's important, and we are working hard to do that. There's a couple of other things that are still outstanding that I wanted to bring your attention regarding Prop 11. We think there might be some need, depending on how that goes, for some additional resources. So we're just alerting the Department of Finance that to the extent that there's issues with that workload, we would might need some resources. Parole revocation, which will be addressed later on today, we will also be alerting them that there might be a need to adjust that funding based on the data that is collected and the actual workload that's coming forward. You'll see we have a couple of small issues for the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals. We'll also be, again, pursuing the trial court proposals for the retiree health benefits, and we think that's, again, a core cost that we need to have addressed. We will be pursuing funding for the public contract code implementation. We know that that's going to burden courts quite a bit, having to comply with the new law. We have heard from many courts about court security. We know that's an issue, and we are working diligently with the courts and our partners in the Sheriff's Association and CSAC to refine and revise, hopefully, jointly, the court security proposal that is currently in place. And I'll turn it over to Justice Huffman for his presentation.
All right. Thank you, Zlatko. The newly formed Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency, referred to classically as A&E, has undertaken to examine the requested budget change proposals for the AOC. You may recall in the charge that the chief and the council give to that committee, it includes the annual review of budget change proposals affecting the administrative office of the courts, the office of court construction, although we're not addressing issues in this time of courthouse construction projects. The budget request proposals for the AOC and the Office of Court Construction that have been presented to A&E relate, as Zlatko has indicated, principally to increased costs from inflation and increased costs particularly in maintenance insurance of buildings that we have either taken over or completed that have added additional space and additional costs. Important to understand that there are no staffing increases identified in these BCPs for the administrative office, nor do any of them expand the responsibilities or duties of the administrative office. And lastly, before I go through them quickly, the advisory committee wants to make very clear to the council that we are not evaluating anything of the financial strategy of the judicial branch, save and except these AOC budget change proposals, but we do not make any recommendations as to what ought to have priority over anything. It's not our role, and we're simply evaluating what was presented to us. BCPs presented for the Administrative Office of the Courts were presented to the committee on August 11th, and we reviewed them, and we unanimously have recommended approval of the five BCPs. You have them in your reports, but let me just go through them quickly, very quickly. The one affecting the AOC itself is a price funding adjustment. As Ron and Zlatko have mentioned, there is authority for other agencies to request from the state, from the Department of Finance, adjustments, the so-called price-cost adjustments for inflation as to cost, equipment, and operating costs. The BCP for the AOC is about $1.6 million at the present time and is consistent with submitted and consistent with the budget letter that Zlatko has mentioned. The proposal would be included in the branch-wide proposals that the AOC is going forward with. There's also a need for BCP with regard to federal or to grant funds. In order for the branch to expend or for the AOC to expend federal grant money, we have to have legislative authorization to expend that money. And this BCP simply seeks that authorization for continuing or new federal grants. We don't have a dollar amount at this point, but we will during the discussions that go on with the Department of Finance. With regard to facilities, there are three facilities-based BCPs. One has to do with operating costs. We have, increased inflationary costs for the operation of those facilities and pursuant to Government Code 13308.05. This proposal would be consistent, again, with requests for the legislature to fund those added inflationary costs. It's $2.196 million for that particular BCP. The county facilities contributions are not sufficient to cover the operating costs necessary. If we don't receive this inflationary adjustment, you'll have a reduction in resources available for the maintenance of those facilities. We also have a risk management BCP that is providing insurance for the facilities that are now operated or under the control of the Judicial Council. At the present time, only 33% of the buildings for which the AOC and Judicial Council are responsible are insured. And, of course, as anyone knows, insurance is expensive. The current in county facilities payment covers about half of the $5.6 million necessary to continue to provide added insurance. The amount of money left over in the construction budgets, having been as a result of state legislative changes, is not much, and any major liability action against the branch for one of those facilities would be very difficult for us to fund. So insurance seems to be a very legitimate need. We need $2.74 million to, in addition to the county facilities payments, to fund that. And the last one has to do with new court facilities, particularly those that are not replacing other facilities. One of them, the biggest expense, is for the Fresno CISC federal courthouse renovation, which doesn't replace the facility. It adds a facility of 191,000 square feet. Actually, in this BCP, is 286,000 square feet of additional space have been come under responsibility of the branch and the AOC. And the estimate is we need approximately $1.33 million to provide the maintenance and upkeep for those facilities. They include Contra Costa, Fresno, Lassen. For some reason, Plumas is in this. I'm not sure. What's that about?
What?
No, never mind. I don't want to know what it is. The Plumas Sierra Portola Loyalton Courthouse, we actually get a credit for the Mammoth Lakes Courthouse, but the total amount necessary, as I said, is $1.33 million. And again, like all of these, if we're unable to obtain those additional funds, it removes the resources available for maintenance, and ultimately the facilities will deteriorate, as has been the historic lot of courts in our county experience, if all of you remember back that far, and it's not what we would like to see going forward. So the A&E committee recommends that the Judicial Council approve those BCPs related to the AOC and submit them as part of the branch budget process. Michael?
Yes, so recommendation two would be to approve the AOC. The AOC recommends the Judicial Council approve the submission of BCPs for fiscal year 2012-13, which would communicate the funding needs for the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, and the trial courts, as well as delegating authority to the Administrative Director of the courts to develop budget requests for judicial branch entities focused on the restoration of baseline funding for the submission to the State Department of Finance, and delegate authority to make necessary technical changes.
Thank you. Any questions, comment, discussion?
In our discussions, our educational discussions yesterday, there was a very interesting discussion about A&E's role in looking at the budget of the AOC and looking at the line item budget of the AOC. And in this proposal, it talks about your committee approving budget requests of the Administrative Office of the Courts. Did you get a line item budget of the AOC for your committee to review yet?
We have not yet, Judge Wesley. The I just learned of this action of the Executive and Planning Committee this morning. If we go back to the charge of the A&E as it existed on August 11 when we met. was only to review BCPs of the AOC. Now, by way of information to the council, the committee, which meets in person next week, plans to start a process of going through every department of the AOC, reviewing their operations, their budget, their staffing levels, and their sources of income. But we had not been asked to do the task that's outlined in the E&P committee minutes of August 12th yet. Now, if we undertake that, and certainly if that's what the council directs A&E to do, we will undertake it. But I would ask the council, if you want us to review in detail all of the line item budgets of the AOC and review consultant agreements and contracts that are in significant amount, you need to tell us what you want us to do with it. I certainly don't want to have the committee go through and say, yep, we know it's there. There it is. And congratulate ourselves. If you want us to analyze it for what purpose, you tell us what you want us to do, and we will undertake that process. You have to have in mind, although this is the second year of the committee, the chief is appointed essentially a brand-new committee and structured it differently as a different charge, and it is going through the process of trying very hard to figure out what it needs to do, what priorities, and our first response, of course, is if the council or the chief believes we should work on something, we will. But we need some guidance from you on this issue. So, yes, we did not do it here because we weren't aware that we were supposed to do anything of that kind.
And I have one other question, Chief, if I may. There is a here it directs that the administrator director of the court will make technical changes to budgetary proposals as necessary. And could I get a definition of what technical changes are? And is there a limit to the amount that a technical change can amount to?
I would suspect that a technical change would be final costings of the BCPs to the extent that there might be estimates at this point, because they are just concepts. We don't fully complete them until we get approval from the council to proceed on the final development.
So, Mr. Is it Theodorovic? Did I say that
Theodorovic?
Right? Theodorovic. Is it correct then that if the administrative director directs you to make a budget change proposal, that it will come to the council for our review before you make that request?
Is that the final form of the document?
Yes.
It is not my understanding that that's the process.
So that's why I was asking. I don't think it was clear to me. I see Bill's grabbing the mic there, so maybe you can clarify that for me.
So typically you approve a proposal, let's say adding, whether it's in the trial courts, adding a number of judges or doing something in the AOC on a project. And so if it's hiring staff, the concept that comes to you has a number of people and those kinds of things. And the adjustments that are made are the calculations of the salary, the overhead for phone, and all of those things that get adjusted to specific costs at the time, and those don't come back to the council. So we're happy to work with any process you want to see those things, but these things are usually very fast moving and will change and will be sent back by DOF. We redo them again, send them back. So there's going to be, if you want to see each of these changes, I guess we could email them to you or something like that.
But the reason I brought it up is when we had a discussion at E&P about what E&P should review. Should we review every single change that comes in on things, or should we set some, and Justice Miller can correct me, but should we set some kind of a parameter, and if a certain amount of money is being spent over that parameter, should it come through E&P or come to the council so that we actually have oversight over what's occurring? And I don't know if there's a process for that, but when I look at this, it doesn't tell me there's any oversight. And if it's a substantial change to what's approved by the council, I think there should be oversight of some kind, whether it comes to E&P.
Well, I think those are good things to discuss in terms of what criteria you want to consider in those areas. And, you know, normally the oversight comes, as I say in the past, in approving the budget change proposal, the concept with the estimated costs and that kind of thing. If there was a change to say, gee, we're not going to seek funding for two staff, we're going to seek funding for five staff, that would go back to the council. That would be a substantive change. But if it's the change in the calculations of the funding or Department of Finance says we're not going to include costs for health care on increases next year in the staff positions and that kind of thing, I think. So typically you provide oversight by oversight on the authorization at the front end and then the outcome on the back end, as opposed to trying to manage the budgets of the individual activities of the individual departments. So I think your question's a good one, Judge West. I just think it probably is something that you need to address in your EMP meeting with some further discussion about the criteria and the definition.
Or through A&E. I just think sure. That I think all these committees are being set up for an oversight process that should be clear.
Right.
And that's all I'm asking.
Yeah. No, makes sense.
And I think you're talking about two different things.
I was talking about different things, and I knew that, but it came up in that context, right, is what I was saying.
The Governance Committee is going to try to meet this week before Thursday so we can give direction to Justice Huffman, and I talked to him about that. So we're going to try to set that up. And then on the others that you bring with regards to this issue, I think that's something E&P should talk about at one of its meetings and see if we want to recommend that there be some type of a change in that regard or ask staff to make a proposal in that regards or even just assign it to Justice Huffman again.
That was my thought.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to say,
Chief. Goes around, comes around, Judge West.
But knowing how the budget development process goes, and I think this is a kind of a standard process that the council's had in place for a number of years, the thing that's being requested today is really a framework for the council or for the AOC to go forward in terms of developing budget proposals. So I don't think that at this point we're talking about dollar amounts, and certainly these proposals, with few exceptions, are really conceptual in nature in that they are requesting budget restoration, they're requesting perhaps a new kind of inflationary cost adjustment, they're asking for authority to be granted to the council to make allocations. So they're not, it's not like we're saying we want to launch a new program and it's going to take seven staff and four judges and six, you know, clerks, and we can cost those things out and put them in a budget change proposal. What we're looking at for today is just to give authority to start moving forward on the urgent business of trying to get restoration of funding for the courts and to place some broad parameters around how that would work. And I want to just offer, Zlatko, that certainly the CEOs, SEAC on behalf of the CEOs, is happy to work with you in whatever way you find helpful to accomplish that, and I would guess that the presiding judges would also be very, very happy to get on board with helping to develop, you know, put some teeth to some of those proposals.
Well, if I might just add one thought, we had to discuss this within the A&E committee as we begin to try to understand the process. This is driven in part by a time requirement. You have to have your VCPs into the Department of Finance by
September 12th.
Well, you're still unraveling the carnage of your last budget, and the best you can do at this point are to identify the concepts and some guidelines, and certainly whatever oversight the council deems appropriate is certainly a wise idea. But I think you contextually understand we're going forward with ideas at the moment because we have to get it in by the 12th, and so we try to give you as much information as we can. So that you can at least say, are these ideas acceptable or not? And then how you follow up on them is certainly a very legitimate area of inquiry.
Thank you. Judge O'Malley.
I would move to adopt the recommendation, both 1 and 2, proposed by the committee.
I'll second that.
Judge Waters and Justice Miller second. Any more discussion on the matter? Judge Pines?
When I first saw this, I thought we were going to be approving budget requests, and then I realized as I got through the document that that's not what we're doing. We're just, in a sense, approving concepts here. It would really be helpful if I could sometimes have a copy of the budget. Why don't we get copies of the budget?
We will get you copies of the budget.
I mean, maybe we get a lot of materials. It'd be just useful to have a copy of that. I know,
and then I'll
it's online
take an hour and explain it to you.
Pardon me?
And then I'll take time to explain what the budget looks
at
like.
It'd be useful. I mean, what I gather you're doing here is basically relying on the same budget that we had and now asking for additional increments.
Right, and that is the method that the state of California...
Right. Now, there's no request for any reductions in any services.
Heavens no.
You don't do it that way.
No, we are asking for statutory relief so that we can reduce workload to address the funded reductions.
No, I understand, but I mean, I understand, for example, there's going to be a review of the AOC's functions, and we've got all these committees working on this. Mm-hmm. But I gather it's premature at this point to go forward with anything other than what we have as an existing budget, because as you've heard from earlier discussions, we may have to prioritize our expenditures as we've discussed beforehand and decide what the priorities are going to be.
Just as we've had unallocated reductions of $350 million, that means the legislature doesn't tell us what programs to cut or what areas to cut. The council decides that in terms of how to deal with the reductions. We're approaching this in the same way of saying restorations is what we're going to try to accomplish here, to get unallocated money restored to the budget so you can make decisions about how to allocate it.
Any further discussion, question, or comment? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Matter carries. Thank you. Thank you, Justice Huffman, Zlotko, Kim. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief Justice. I just want to comment for the council members that are retiring from the council, and the chief has mentioned to you that she'll see you in other committees. That's not a joke.
Thank you, I think.